Well, I'm so thankful to be in the house of the Lord and to be able to speak. Pray that He'll put the words in my mouth as He would have me say them. But you know, today, I don't even know why. I know this is a basic Christianity 101 subject, but I think it's something we all need to be reminded of again. Paul would often tell his people and the disciple Timothy and Titus and others to put them in remembrance, he said. Remind them. Tell them over and over. Because, you know, we are forgetful people. We are. But I was thinking today when I read this scripture, I thought, the question that came to my mind was, when was the last time that you had ever prayed not to fall into temptation? Interesting question. If you're like me, it was probably either anywhere between never and not that often. But the thing is, when we want to avoid temptation, we got to put together a strategy before it happens. We don't want to wait until the temptation to finally crack open the Word and say, well, what does the Lord say about this? You know, we want to have a strategy ahead of time. And so when Jesus was in the garden, and the disciples, you know, went to sleep, He said something kind of interesting because it was going to be, He was on His way to the cross. But when they fell asleep and He came back to say something to them, to me this was, I don't want to say it was out of context, it wasn't, but the fact that where it's placed I thought was very interesting because here's what He said to the disciples. He said, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. And then He went on to say, the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And we all know that. We know that the flesh, our human nature, is weak. We can easily fall into temptation, especially when you're not prepared. And by the way, not very often does suddenly a temptation just present itself with you announced, okay? Usually it's unannounced. I'll give you an example, and this, you know, this is something that's probably hit all of us. But what if you were walking by, say, this table, and you found a $100 bill? Now, everybody in here, I'm pretty sure, would look at it and say, oh, somebody's dropped this. Or are you going to announce it? Hey, who lost a $100 bill? Two things. You could have kept it secret, which would have been wrong, but it would have been tempting for some people. It really would. The second thing was when you announce who lost a $100 bill, it's awful tempting for somebody to go, I did. You know, that's not the way we do things. So we try to figure out in a subtle way who may have lost it somehow. And just to stay on that theme for a second, I actually was in our company cafeteria there a little bit, going through the line. I bought some breakfast and happened to look down, and there was a $20 bill just laying on the floor. And I looked around. There was nobody else in there but me. So I picked it up. Of course, I was going to figure it out. And I went up to the lady, and I told her, I said, look, I found some money. I didn't tell her how much. I said, I found some money that I think somebody dropped, and if anybody comes looking for it, tell them to come see me. So anyway, put the money in my pocket, and I took it back, and I didn't know if I was going to hear anything. Anyway, come about noon, so this was breakfast time, around 8 or 9 o'clock. Come about noon, I had a fella come by my office. He goes, hey, did you find any money? I said, yeah, I did. He said, well, I lost a 20 in there, I'm pretty sure. And I'm like, okay, you've now told me how much and where. And so I'm reasonably sure that's him, and it's not somebody who's trying to take me. But that's kind of how you have to do nowadays, isn't it? You got to be careful, even when you're trying to do a good deed. You got to be careful. So anyway, he got his money back. But oftentimes, temptation, when we talk about the word temptation, it actually has a few applications. One of them, and I'm just going to talk about a couple, sometimes it's a trial. It's a test. It's something that you, like a sickness or something that has happened. Maybe you got mugged or something like that. These are the kind of things that frighten us, that make us scared to get out on our own especially. But there's so much crime and things out there that sometimes things will happen unexpectedly, and the fact is, we're being tested. How are you going to respond to this? You know, and I'll tell you, the Lord, well, I shouldn't say the Lord did this, because he probably didn't, but Satan knows how to get my goat. Dronda knows. We were actually walking down a parking lot when somebody was going to back out, and which we had already gotten behind his truck. He had a pretty good sized truck, but he was getting ready to back out. And then at the last second, he saw me standing right there at his bumper. Of course, we went, sorry, and rushed around him. Well, the guy went by us and he blew his horn. He was being a jerk. Well, immediately, the feathers get ruffled and all this stuff. And I was agitated. I really was. And then he got down a little way, blew his horn again, and he's looking in that mirror, scowling. And I was looking back at him, scowling. I shouldn't have, but I was. I'm like, well, what's he going to do? And Dorana said something. God bless you. Have a good day. Whatever. And then he went down to the edge of the parking lot as we were walking down, and he just sat there waiting for us to come. And I looked at Dorana, and I was, of course, I think Aaron or somebody was with us, and I was like, well, what's he up to? And I thought the guy might have been wanting to really start some trouble. So I was trying to prepare myself mentally. What was I going to do? Finally, I guess at the last second, his wife or somebody must have convinced him to leave, and he pulled out, nearly hit a vehicle when he pulled out, but he was mad. But my point is, the temptation hit me to fight back, fuss at him. Thankfully, the Lord must have created a situation that made him go away. Because I honestly don't know what I would have said or done if he'd gotten out and really started harassing, especially Dorana. Me, I can probably take it, but I don't know if I could take it if somebody harassed her. But the problem is, it was a temptation, and she handled it way better than I probably would have. And I thank God there was no confrontation. But my point is, that was a test. That was a test. And even Peter says, count it all joy when you experience these trials, these issues and stuff in your life, because he said that the proving, the testing of your faith is what? More precious than gold. And I know we don't like to think that way, but it is. But the spirit indeed is willing. I'm willing to stay calm, cool, and collective, but this flesh is weak. And I know that firsthand. But this watch and pray, in other words, observe. Keep your eyes open. And he says, and pray, and then the phrasing in the King James is a little odd, but it says that ye enter not, or that you don't give in. So let's say it this way. Pray that you don't give in to sin. Does anybody pray that? I haven't for a long time. Pray that you don't give in, that you don't enter in to temptation, that you don't give in to sin. And so temptation is that opportunity to sin against God. And if I were to ask anybody in here, who wants to go out and sin tonight? Everybody would say, not me. But I'm telling you, the temptations are out there. Maybe it's a road rage. It's something that the devil knows can get your goat real quick. Road rage, or somebody cutting you off in traffic, or somebody calling you a name, or just giving you the IQ of one hand gesture. That used to be enough to set me off. But anyway, not anymore. I have calmed down a whole lot. Trust me, I really have. But the fact is, there's all these opportunities to sin. And that's really what I kind of want to go through, because how are you going to avoid that? Well, first of all, watch and pray. Pray, Lord, please don't let me give in to some kind of temptation today. Please, Lord, don't help me to avoid temptation. Let's start doing that. Let's start praying to the Lord to help us to overcome before the time actually gets here. Because like you see here, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. But then I want to move on to the main portion of the text, and we'll go through this briefly. But in Luke chapter 4, verse 1, and you know this story real good. Jesus, when he got baptized, his ministry was now in the beginning stages. His ministry was just beginning. And so it says, and Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from the Jordan, which is where he got baptized, and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. And being 40 days tempted, you could say tested, tried, and maybe even tempted by way of desire to sin, he was tempted of the devil. And in those days, he did eat nothing. And by the way, I don't know if you've gone many days without eating, but boy, when you want to give in to eating before it's time to stop, it's tough. And then it says, and when they were ended, those days when he was fasting, he afterward hungered. I remember, and I may have told you this already, but I was fasting. I was going a three-day fast, and I was on day three. It was in the morning, and I wouldn't have finished until a Sunday evening. I was going to make it. I was determined I was going to make it. And bless her heart, Charlie came upstairs right after service. She said, Earl, said, I know how much you like pinto beans. See, I told you, Lucille. She said, I have a big old pot down there, and you're welcome to have some. I have some set aside for you. I went, well, no, thank you, Charlie. I'm not really that hungry. I shouldn't have said that because I was. But the fact is, I said, I'm not that hungry right now. I said, but thank you. Thank you very much. And when she walked away, I sat there and I thought about it. I thought about it. And I thought about it. I should have quoted James. James says, you know, once you get that lust, that craving for pinto beans or whatever, and good old country cornbread, man, I'm even doing it now. My salivating was going on, and it was like, oh, man. Well, I don't know whether it was a sin or not, but I gave in. I gave in, and boy, was it good. She can cook. She really can. And I was like, man, you know, I was almost ready to make it. I was, you know, 2 days and maybe 5 hours into this, or 12 hours. But it was good. But I gave in. So the devil was tempting Jesus, and you know all about that. But here's the thing. And it says here, and the devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of God. And right there makes me pause and want to think. Did the devil know? Huh? What is it? I wonder, because I think he either suspected or had a very strong inkling, but then maybe Jesus wasn't doing the things he expected. Yeah. Well, so he's asking the big question. If, he's like saying, well, if you really are the Son of God, he said, well, command this stone that it be made bread. Well, you fasted for 40 days. What's the thing he's appealing to here is his hunger. Just like that luscious pot of beans that was waiting on me, I had an empty tummy, and that was waiting on me. Well, the devil's like saying, if you're the Son of God, you have all this power, right? Make that stone, in other words, recreate it into something different, from a stone to bread. And that would have been appealing to his flesh. Well, so how is Jesus going to avoid such a thing? By the word of God. And Jesus answered him, saying, it is written. Folks, right there is a monumental lesson for all of us. If you want to help avoid temptation, one, watch and pray that you won't fall into temptation and don't give in to sin. Watch and pray. The second thing is to know that it is written. When David had that one psalm that I love, he said, thy word have I hidden in my heart so that I might not sin against thee. I love that, and I probably should have posted it up here, but the thing is, Jesus quoted from Deuteronomy, what we call chapter 8, verse 3. That man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. See, appealing to the flesh is not necessarily a bad thing, but the fact is, that wasn't the thing that would satisfy his soul. It was the word of God. And I love that. I love Jesus combating him with the word of God. And so here again, and the devil, taking him up to a high mountain, showed him unto all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. I don't know what kind of power Satan did to do all this, but apparently he was able to fly or at least transport Jesus up to this pinnacle or this mountain and show him all the kingdoms of the earth in a moment of time. Again, how that happened? Does Satan have power over time and space? I don't know. I don't think he has that much, but I don't know. But then he goes on and he says, and the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that it is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will give it. Now, some people will argue and say the devil's not in charge of this world. I don't know. It calls him the God of this world in the scripture. The devil is the God of this world. You see, Adam basically relinquished his authority and control over this world when he gave in to the temptation. And Eve, of course. That's when they lost all authority. So somehow in this transaction, the devil then assumed authority of the earth. And he's now telling Jesus, look, the whole world is at your feet if you just do one thing. He said, if thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. It'll be yours. Just fall down and worship me, he said. And you might immediately think, well, who's silly enough to do that? Look how people fall down and worship things like rock music and all these other things that are just out there, and they're just falling all over themselves to bow down to Baal, not maybe realizing that it's leading to eternal death. Okay, the wages of sin is death. And there's no escaping that transaction. It's the wages. You're going to get paid for how you live and what you do. And if it's sin, then it's death. And so here, the devil is tempting Jesus with pride. Power over everything. There's so many people who want to be the ruler of the world. And they're really working hard to become that person. And eventually there will be one, and we'll call him the Antichrist. And we've been talking about the beast system. But that's the thing. He's saying, I'll give you all this power if you just worship me. And Jesus, again, replied to him. And Jesus answered and said unto him, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written. There you go again, the word of God. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. That typically is found in two places, Deuteronomy 6 and 13 and chapter 10, verse 20, in our Bible that we read. So again, Jesus confronts and Satan with this temptation, and he tells him that I'm going to go by what's written. I'm not going to go by the pride that I have. And sure, having being ruler over all of the world, and who knows what all kingdoms he showed him, that would have been an interesting thing. But Jesus is going to be ruler over all anyway. But anyway, he confronted him with the word. And so he goes on and he says this. And he brought him to Jerusalem and he set him on a pinnacle of the temple. So way high up on this pinnacle, probably, I wonder if it was in view. You remember the TV show Scrooge? Do you remember when the spirits took Scrooge out in different places? Nobody could see him. You notice that? He was able to visit and live his past, present, and future, and nobody could see him. I don't know if that was anything like this. I wonder if people could look up and, well, wait a minute, there's Jesus way up there. I don't know. But he's up on a pinnacle of the temple, and the devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, there's that if again, that if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from thee. I mean, let's just throw yourself over the ledge. Wow, that's an interesting test. But why would the devil want to test Jesus that way? Because he can quote Scripture. not correctly, but he does quote it. It actually comes from Psalms 91, verses 11 through 12. But the devil's quoting scripture, "For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over thee and to keep thee. And in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against the stone." In other words, he's saying, Jesus, like, you know, if you're the Son of God, then you have this band of angels that if you fall down or you jump down, they're going to catch you and you're not going to even dash your foot. You're not even going to touch anything against the stone. You're not going to get hurt. But if you're the Son of God, he says, well, how's Jesus going to overcome that? He can't deny he's not the Son of God. But he says something that we should all take heart. "And Jesus answering him said unto him, it is said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And again, from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 16. You know, it's interesting that a lot of people ignore the Old Testament. It has so much for us. It's so rich in stuff what we can glean from it and learn about God's character and how to combat Satan. All of Scripture is good for teaching, reproof, and all of this stuff that we need to absorb as we read. So not only watch and pray that we don't give in to temptation, that we don't enter in to temptation, but we also fight with the Word of God. And if you remember, I know I didn't put it up here, but that's a whole sermon in itself, but the armor of God. The armor of God, your only offensive weapon was the sword, okay? Is it the sword? That is the Word of God. I think that's right. But that's what it's for. It's that's how you fight it, is with the Word of God. So anyway. So the devil finally leaves him alone, right? Not exactly. The final verse we're going to talk about tonight, it says, "And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for how long? For a season." You see, it's great when you win the battle. You want to go, ching, I just thwarted the devil and I was able to overcome. Today you did. You got tomorrow to think about. So what I'm trying to explain is what the scriptures have up here is something we all need to put in practice on a daily, if not sometimes minute by minute basis. Don't be caught off guard like I was at the Walmart parking lot. We need to have a strategy ahead of time. We need to have a prayer time to simply ask God to help us not to give in to this temptation so that when it comes at us at a moment's notice, we know how we're going to handle it. We know how we're going to be. We got to have that spirit of calm. Because your spirit is willing, but your flesh is weak. It gives us the most trouble sometimes. So it's not always these external things that I'm fighting against. It's actually myself. I'm fighting against my own weak flesh. So how am I going to fight it? I'm going to watch and pray. Pray that I don't give in or enter in to temptation or sin. But I'm also going to fight by the Word of God. Father, I'm so grateful, Lord, for your Word. I know your Word is powerful. I know that everything about it, Lord, will save me and will help me if I just follow your Word. And so, God, let me be like David. Let me hide your Word in my heart so that I might not sin against thee. Lord, none of us want to sin. A lot of times when even the scripture says, fall into temptation. Well, falling is usually an accident. Lord, sometimes we sin by accident. And so, Lord, help us. Help us not to give in to temptation, to give in to sin. And so, God, I pray that you'll go with us and teach us, Lord, to live daily according to your word and will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.